This is an Enterprise Times podcast. I'm here with Karen Minicozzi, Vice President of Pre-Sales at Workday. Karen, one of the things we've heard at Workday Rising is we are your partner in your transformation journey. You're now head of the pre-sales operation. How does that journey start with the customer in that very early days?
It's a great question. I think that in the early days, customers are really trying to determine what kind of transformation journey they're on, whether it's a full-on enterprise-wide transformation of the way that they not just manage HR, but engage with their workforce. And there are other organizations that are simply trying to change the way that they do HR, which is a little bit different. If you're trying to go on a full-on transformation and really engage with the workforce versus trying to get to a place that I would call operational excellence, I think those are the two areas that we see the most. And then we try to work with the prospective customer during that initial part of the journey to really help them understand which journey they're actually on, and then to help them understand how they would use Workday to help them engage in that transformation journey. Because we can do both of those things. We can help customers on both of those journeys. But we need to make sure that they understand the value that Workday can bring to either one of those, or how they start with one and move further down the line with another later. So if you start with operational excellence, with organizations that today don't have good ways of tracking even just the basic staffing transactions, as compared to those who really want to push transparency across the organization, really engage in that employee journey where the employee is using a system to explore, not just transact, and helping them see what that journey looks like. And I think that we sometimes see in that process a light bulb going on that, oh, actually, that is a different way of looking at the world, and maybe we need to be looking to go further down that path, and being able to see what that entire roadmap might look like, starting with operational excellence and moving down that path to a further transformation in the future.
How does your organization maintain the knowledge that you've gained during your pre-sales into your implementation phase?
That's always a challenge for any organization, I think, because it's different parts of the organization that do that. So we have a very tight relationship during the sales process from our perspective between our pre-sales organization, our field sales organization, and our services organization, because they have a part in that whole journey as well. With software as a service, we have to have our services partners with us, whether they're a partner or it's Workday as the implementer, as part of that whole sales process. And that person is the pivotal piece in making sure that everything we've learned during that qualification process, that discovery process, gets passed into the deployment. Because the last thing we want is for it to feel like Groundhog Day for the customer when they're going into their deployment and they have to answer all the same questions over again. We want to make sure that knowledge that we've taken follows through. And that goes through, I think we talked earlier about value management, and that value piece is critical along that journey as well, because the value piece is really, how do I write that business case? How do I actually convince my own company, if I'm the prospective customer, that this is the right product and the right way to move forward? And that piece actually pulls together, I think, all of the things that we learn, whether it's learning about what they're trying to do from a feature function perspective, learning how they want to deploy, learning what their ultimate goals are, pulling those together into a cohesive document that can travel through that process with them. So I think that's really what we try to do. We don't always succeed, but we certainly try.
In my first ever role, I was working quality assurance in a software company, and the quality assurance team had an individual that went through every stage of the project. Do you have any individual that goes through any stage of the project, or is that document you talk about, is that the kind of Bible for a project?
I think it's a bit more of the documentation and the process, and having, think of it like a relay race in the Olympics, where you've got four people running a race, and you have to have that piece where you're passing the baton, and so there's a little bit of overlap where you're running together. We do a little bit like that. So from a pre-sales to services, we're running together, and then services takes the lead. And then once the customer's deploying, the services team is running, and then they're going to pass off to our customer success team. So there's always a baton handoff, and we hope that we never drop that. So we're always trying to pass it through without dropping the baton. I think that's probably the best way I could describe that.
One of the other teams you have responsibility for is the value management team, and I heard them speak earlier this year, actually. That's very interesting, because what they do is help build the business case with the customer. What are the key elements, and what are you seeing as the trends in that area at the moment?
Everyone building a business case is looking for hard evidence, hard savings. Where am I going to actually save money? And some are also looking then at the intangible benefits. So we have to have a very strong understanding of, is this an organization really driven by hard dollar savings, or are they also willing to calculate into that maybe some of the less obvious time saving or the improved engagement, for example, as part of that. From my perspective, some of the trends that we've seen is a little bit more understanding that those intangibles can have a powerful impact on the organization. I think that as culture has risen in importance in organizations, there's more understanding that that actually does drive productivity, and those productivity gains can actually have a calculated amount at the end of the day. So I think those would be some of the trends that we see. There are organizations that still need it to be only the facts, ma'am, just very dry and very cut, how much money am I actually going to save? But I think I've seen an increase in those that are willing to talk at least about some of those other benefits that they might gain.
And what's the greatest challenge that customers face during and before selection?
Often it is that defining what the actual outcome benefit is going to be. Now, I've talked to a number of prospective customers even here about how they're trying to work within their organizations to make that selection and get the budget. So if you look at any organization's got competing priorities, that any time if you're in an organization and the IT group is tasked not only with back office type systems or HR systems, finance systems, that they're also tasked with customer-facing systems or operationally critical revenue-driving systems, there's always a challenge in how you actually get the dollars to drive change in HR or finance. And so I think we see some of those as helping them to help move their project up the priority list, for example. It's always challenging for the prospects to understand what their world would look like after a transformation or a change. How do we support this if we go into a new product area, if we are driving change in the organization? How do we actually support that going forward? Maybe we have a small staff. Maybe we've not done this before. They want to feel, I think, a sense of comfort that the vendor is with them for the long haul, that we're partners with them. So I think there's a lot of that, a lot of talk about what does that actual customer experience look like over the long term. And I think we talk a lot about that partnership. For some, it's understanding if we were to hit a challenge during a deployment, what would that look like? How would you work with us? So we talk a lot about that and about what those processes are. And then we also talk about long-term how their voice gets heard within our organization, within Workday. So how do you become part of the larger customer community? How do you band together with others to make your voice heard, whether it's for a specific industry, for a specific geography, for specific types of features, and talk through that. So I think there's a lot of challenges just in understanding the landscape today, particularly if organizations haven't looked for software for a while. Things have changed dramatically and continue to change very quickly. So trying to compare sometimes is difficult for them when they're comparing to a very rudimentary system that they've got. Lastly, say that they often want to understand how to drive actual engagement. So it's all great to see systems and people all talk about engagement, how it's all going to help, but they want to understand how have people really done it. And so in an event like this with Workday, their ability to speak to customers who are live, who've actually done it, is invaluable. Like, we can tell them a million times, it's going to be great. You're going to be able to do it. Here's how some customers have done it. But that's still a salesperson telling them that. And it's absolutely invaluable to sit with a customer and ask them, but how did you get the engagement that you got? What did that look like? What would you do differently? So each time a new customer goes live, they can take that up one more notch and always make it better. And I think that's a really big power of our customer community.
Chano mentioned on stage about the 98% customer satisfaction, which was incredible. What's the 2% that you think needs to be addressed?
So the 2% are the ones we focus on intently. We don't want it to even be 2%. But I'd say that every deployment has a challenge. So some are managed maybe better than others. There might be some where they had an expectation of something that wasn't met, whether that's product-wise or deployment-wise. And we work really hard to ensure that customers are satisfied during that process. But you always have some improvement to make. I think it just proves to us that we're always human and that not everything always goes to plan. But I will tell you that 2% we focus on like a laser. When we learn who those 2% are, we have plans in place to actually go to those customers to help try and mitigate whatever those concerns are, whether that's working with them to redeploy a particular thing, whether that's working with them to repair a partnership, whether it's working with a partner, for example, to help up the game. All of those are ways that we work with the customers to try and get that 2% somewhere above that. In the end, there are some maybe who went live and haven't been able to live in this new software as a service world where it's much more of a continuous process and not a, we implemented and now we're live and we'll be live until the same thing for 5 years and then we'll do an update. This is a continual process and not everyone is equipped necessarily to live in that world when they get out, so it's a bit of an adjustment for them. So we do try to put in place some programs to help them to actually get whole, if you will, as they continue to roll out. So we put a lot of focus and have a lot of plans around the 2%.
Yesterday, David Coulter was on stage talking about how he used to get the best version of himself out there. And that reflects that in terms of your focusing on that 2%. So coming back around in terms of your operational responsibility in pre-sales, how do you do that within pre-sales? Because I don't know what percentage of bid wins you win, but it's possibly not 98%. That would be really good. How do you do that learning curve in the pre-sales piece?
It is that focus on not only celebrating where we have won, because it is important to celebrate, because you don't win everything, right? So you want to celebrate. But it's also always looking at the places where you haven't won and understanding what drove that, whether it was maybe a demo that didn't go well, but it may also have been simply price. It may have been a relationship that had already been formed with a different vendor. All of those things are part of it. So making sure that we're constantly looking at those things and understanding where it is something that pre-sales can control, how do we then go back, look at that, be critical of ourselves, and put in place programs to improve that. Pre-sales is one of those areas where it's a continual learning process. You can't just go to work and phone it in and just do the job. It is a 24/7, always on, always a deadline to meet. And so you have to have people who are really well trained, who have to know the product in depth, who can dance a bit in front, answering questions, going off script, being able to go deep or stay high, depending on the audience. It's making sure that we've got the right group of people in the room. When I talk to my team about pre-sales, I tell them there's three things that are important to me, and you have to always keep them top of mind when you're in front of a prospective customer. The first one is to make sure that you're telling a story, because people connect with stories, and they have to understand it's just not enough to say, I'm click here, click here. It's how does that actually change my life? So tell me a story about that. The second is, it's always about them, it's not about us. So we're not there to talk about Workday, we're there to talk about the customer, their pain points, their challenges, and how we're going to help them overcome those challenges. And then the third one is really to be a team, because people buy from people they like and people they trust. And so we need to always go in as a cohesive team that has worked together, that has thought through how we're going to present to that customer or prospect and make sure that we are delivering on that. So I think those three things really sum up how we continually try to evolve. So when we do a look back, did we miss our mark on any of those three things? But I think it is absolutely critical to always be looking at where you didn't win and understanding why.
Are you seeing any developing trends in procurement of ERP systems in terms of in the mid-market? We're starting to see a trend towards scenario-based procurement rather than a full detailed RFP type. Is there any trend that you're seeing from a Workday point of view?
To be honest, I don't know that I've seen a trend. I think they're still all over the place. We still see tons of RFPs with 2,000 questions, which we'd never think is all that useful in the end. But we do see some that are scenario-based, where we're going to go in and demo to scenarios. We also tried very much to what we call demo to value, thinking of the value hypotheses they're trying to get to. So often we'll take that business case that we're building, and we'll actually build the demo to show those business case elements as we go through. So those are some of the things, but I still think that while it changes slowly and evolves over time, that people still buy software in very similar ways to the way they've been doing it for a while.
Your previous role was HCM products. What are the future trends at a very high level you're seeing in HR generally, not necessarily specifically from a Workday product point of view?
The things that we get asked a lot now when we're talking to prospects are around machine learning. They're around engagement still. What does engagement look like? How does that work? And what makes something engaging? I think it's understanding how work is changing overall. So it's looking at how are organizations structured? Are they going to be the same? You hear a lot of different ways that people are trying to structure their organization. So how does a system help support that more fluid team structure are some of the primary things that we hear. And we hear a lot, though, about bots, chat. How does it become more collaborative? And I think a lot of those are buzzwords, but you have to pull it together into a solution that actually makes sense so that you're not just throwing chat randomly, but that it's in context with something that actually is going to drive engagement and not just be a fun tool like, Alexa.
Tell a story.
Exactly. Tell a story.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.